So the follower of Jesus is called to faithfully proclaim the truth of the gospel with pure motives in both word and deed.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, have been given a sacred task, a sacred responsibility, which is to faithfully proclaim the gospel, to faithfully proclaim the truth of the gospel. But as we will see in our text here today, that we proclaim that gospel not only with our lips, with our mouths, the words of our mouths, but we also proclaim the gospel with our lives, with our deeds. You know, just a few moments ago, we were looking at that question here about the relationship of good works or good deeds to the believer. Must the believer do good works, good deeds? Well, we can't do good deeds for salvation, can we? Only Jesus saves. Only faith in Him saves. But we are called to a life of good deeds, a life of holiness and righteousness, because it honors our Savior. It's an expression of our love and gratitude to Him. It is assurance of our salvation. It is then, too, a powerful testimony to others as well. And yes, it brings reward. Right, Joy? It brings reward. And speaking of joy, how appropriate, it didn't occur to me till just now. I was thinking joy, and it was joy who said rewards. So, but also what? It brings joy to our lives, doesn't it? In doing the will of God and living in faith and obedience, there's great joy and satisfaction in that. That's a good question. What do you think? Ralph said, isn't it the Holy Spirit doing good works through us?
With our cooperation.
What do you think? How would you answer that?
Yes.
I'd say Ralph's right on target there, right? Because I'd say that goes right in with, what did Jesus say about how doing good works, that we do it? Is it our good works, what we do? No, it's Him working in us and through us by His Spirit, right? Jesus said what? Apart from me, you can do Oh, nothing. I thought it was something. No, it's nothing. Okay. I'm glad you clarified that for me. Okay. All right. So, no, apart from Him, we can do nothing. Yeah, we need Him. We need His Spirit, right? Absolutely. Well, that's good, Ralph, because I want a little interaction here today. Well, it's good anytime, but especially today, I want a little interaction on this today. But, you know, there's another thing for us to think about, too, though, in the passage that I want us to see. And that is not only that we proclaim the gospel faithfully in word and deed, but also it's important to consider motive too. Motive in what we do and why we do it. That we do so with right motive or pure motive. Now in this passage here, we see particularly of Paul speaking of those preachers and teachers who were coming into the church with false motives, preaching the gospel with false intent. Not only a wrong gospel, but with wrong intent. See, sometimes people come in and it's a false gospel. Is it okay to have a false gospel as long as you have good intents? No. But on the other hand, is it okay to preach the right gospel but have bad intents? No, we need both, right? Preach the right gospel with right intent. But there were some who were coming into the church who were preaching a false gospel with false intent. And fortunately, that doesn't happen anymore today, does it? No, it does. Let me give you one example of it right there. Right? Both a false gospel and a false intent illustrated in that picture right there. See, there is a false gospel. that God wants you to be materially wealthy right here and now. But there can also be a false intent that sometimes people can maybe even have a right gospel, but they're in it with wrong motives. They're looking for it to get some kind of reward for it out of themselves. But that's not the biblical picture of what we're to do and why we're to do it, right? We're to preach the right gospel for the right reasons, and to do so in both word and deed. So we're going to continue our series today in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, which speak of hope in trying times, looking at declaring the gospel in word and deed, in which the follower of Jesus is called to faithfully proclaim the truth of the gospel with pure motives in both word and deed. Before we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, a little context here. As has been pointed out many times, and as I read from someone earlier this week once again, there's an old expression. This is a good one to commit to memory here, not just to know the phrase, but to understand the meaning of it. A text without a context is a pretext. Is a con. That's pretty good, though, too, Steve, right? No. But a text without a context is a pretext, meaning what? That if we just dive into the Scriptures and don't understand what we're reading in its proper context, it can become a pretext. That is, we can make it say whatever we want it to say for our purposes, right? And we don't want to do that. We want to see what the Scripture is saying and respond to that, not make the Scripture say what we want it to say, a pretext, right? So some context for our Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2. As you know, Paul, as we looked at last time, Paul had been he had been on a missionary journey, and he received a call to go into this region of Macedonia where the church of Thessalonica would be founded. Paul went there. He preached the gospel there. A church was born there. And there was some opposition then to him and to others who were preaching the gospel there, such that Paul ended up having to leave Thessalonica, and he went on to the city of Philippi, where there he preached the gospel, and a church was born in that. A local assembly was born there in Philippi. But the trouble from Thessalonica followed him to Philippi. The ones who were giving Paul a hard time in Thessalonica went to Philippi and were giving him a hard time there too. So there was trouble all around. No one ever said that following Jesus was going to be a trouble-free, easy life, right? Certainly wasn't for Paul. So there was trouble there from opposition. But there was also trouble, though, in the church from false teachers. Didn't take long for the false teachers to start coming in, swooping in, to preach a false gospel and with impure motives. And for a lot of them, guess what that impure motive was, why they were coming in there? Money. They were looking to make money off of the people, to take advantage of them, to get their money from them. Does this sound familiar? Still happens today, doesn't it? So why, even to this day, why I always, as a pastor then, when it comes to the issue of money and proper biblical financial stewardship, I know we need to talk about this because the Bible does, and it's an important part of our walk with Christ, is how we manage all of our resources, what God has given us, including financial resources. That's a part of good discipleship, managing those things well for God's glory. And the reality is then too, is that, you know what? That does take money to do things, to pay the bills of the church, to make things. Everything doesn't cost, but some things do, right? And so we need to talk about those things. And yet, because of this fact that there have been so many that have abused it, it can be difficult to talk about. And why, as a pastor, I kind of like to kind of shy away. But I know I can't do it. I need to talk about it when it's necessary, right? It's a part of it. But here the reality is here were people that were coming in with the wrong motives that, yeah, it was all about the money, all about the Benjamins for them, right? It's going to say, I'm probably showing like, oh, there's an old guy who thinks he's being hip and cool with the youngsters saying all about the Benjamins. Is all the Benjamins still in style, or am I way out of touch now? I'm way out, right? Okay, that's like, that is probably so 1990s, right? When you when you weren't even born, I don't know, I wasn't even born then, she says, right?
You're so way out, you're far out.
And so way out, I'm far out. Now that's the 60s, man. Groovy, dude. Yeah. So anyway. So that's what was going on. Trouble, opposition, but also false teachers coming in with a false gospel and doing it with impure motives. A lot of it to money. And also, here's another one. Acclaim, accolades, power, influence. Did Jesus speak to some folks in his day, in his ministry, about folks who were in it for human acclaim? You know? Pharisees, right? Absolutely. Same thing was happening now here in the early days of the church, and still today. Money. Power, personal acclaim. So Paul then is writing to this church then to speak to them about these things, to set the record straight. Because by the way, some of these false teachers were saying some very nasty things about Paul, questioning him, questioning his motive, saying that he was a coward because he ran away. Nonsense like that. So let's look then at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming, this is Paul and Silas and Timothy, our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Amen. So proclaiming the gospel with pure motives in both word and deed. Well, if we're going to do that, let's talk for a minute here about the gospel, what it is we're proclaiming exactly. It's not enough just to have right motives. We've got to have the right message, right? So what is the gospel, Ralph?
It's salvation from a hopeless situation.
Salvation from a hopeless situation, from death that we can't get out of ourselves, right? Being delivered from a terrible fate that we can do nothing about ourselves, right? How else? What is the gospel? How would you define the gospel? That's the heart of the gospel right there, right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think that's somewhere in the scriptures, isn't it? Might be, 1 Corinthians 15 says what? That's the heart of the gospel message. What? That Jesus died for our sins, he was buried for our sins, and he rose from the grave in triumph over our sins, right? So the gospel message, what is the gospel? Is the gospel, and please don't someone take offense at this. Listen to the whole thing, okay? The gospel is not this, even though it's very well intentioned and it's okay to talk about to in part, okay? The gospel is not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Okay, it's okay to talk about God's love and God's blessings in Christ, absolutely. But the gospel is, apart from Jesus Christ, you and I are under God's judgment, condemnation for sin, and that's death, physical and spiritual. It's separation, eternal. It's God's judgment in hell. That's the bad news. Gospel means good news, right? Well, that doesn't sound like good news, what you just said. Well, the gospel is the good news that God has overcome that bad news I just told you. So the gospel is the good news that God, in Jesus Christ, the Son, has overcome our just condemnation, has forgiven our sin, has given us then life instead of judgment and condemnation, death, and blessing forever in his name. That's good news, right? So the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ took the punishment for our sins, that he perfectly fulfilled the law of God so that we can be righteous and holy in God's sight, took the punishment for our sins on himself, died for them, was buried, and rose again so that we might have a forgiveness, eternal life, and rise from the grave with him and live forever with him. That's the good news. The gospel is a story of what God has done for us to deliver us. Now that's the biblical gospel. Oh, and the gospel. And so how do we become recipients of this great thing that God has done for us in Jesus Christ? Faith, right? Faith, trust and confidence. Faith, period. Doesn't mean good works aren't important. We already talked about that this morning. But that's not how we're saved. We're saved by faith in the good work of Jesus, right? So there's the gospel. But you know what? There are some false gospels out there today, aren't there? We just heard someone speak this morning about someone involved in Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, here's the thing that many of these false gospels, there are many false beliefs out there, but I want to speak for just a moment about those that kind of fall within the general camp of Christendom, if you will, okay, that are related to a degree or another to Christianity. Falsely related, I would say, but nevertheless related, okay? One of them would be Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know what the thing that many of these false teachings have in common, these false gospels, is it no longer becomes about grace and faith. It becomes about what? Our efforts, our works, right? Self-efforts, works. So with Jehovah's Witnesses, I asked, by the way, I think many of you already know this. If you don't know this, we have a fabulous resource here in our church for understanding doctrines better, but understanding sometimes cults and new religious movements. In fact, our church is helping to support them as in our missions budget now. That is Don and Joy Vino with Midwest Christian Outreach. Just had lunch again the other day with Don. We love to do that. And next time, lunch is on you, Don, by the way. So, no, but... Yeah, yeah. Some of it was on you. Yeah, was it dripped down on your shirt there? Right. So, but I asked Don. I said, "You know, can you tell me what is the gospel according to some of these, like Jehovah's Witnesses? Okay, how are we saved? What's it all about?" Well, he said this: Jesus's invisible presence since 1914. And the soon inauguration of paradise on earth after Armageddon. Salvation is dependent solely on how you treat the anointed class, the 144,000. Does that sound like the biblical gospel to you? No. How about Mormonism? Well, Mormons are Christians, aren't they? Well, I think there are a lot of very nice people who are Mormons, okay? Nice people. But is that a false gospel? Absolutely. Mormons, here it is. The gospel according to Mormonism is that we can be saved after all we can do, meaning to extend your best effort and live His commandments. Is that the biblical gospel? Try real hard to obey. Now, I agree that we should be living to obey God's commandments. But is that how we're saved? By trying real hard to obey His commandments? And by the way, there's some other really funky stuff in Mormonism too, but I'm just focused right now on the gospel. What's the good news? What's the message? How you treat the 144,000 JWs? How you... trying your best to live out commandments, Mormonism. How about this? There's someone named Gwen Shamblin. It was really popular sometime, called the Way Down Workshops. Popular in a lot of evangelical churches here. It's essentially legalism. He said, "The gospel according to Gwen: not my will, but thine be done. If we obediently perform God's will, He gives us grace to be even more obedient." She also said this. Speaking of this infernal message of grace, she said there's, you know, this churches are preaching this false message of grace. She said this: "I'm ready to pull you off this sinking ship and get you safely into the lifeboats of doing." Is that the gospel? I don't think so. How about the health and wealth gospel, the prosperity gospel? You know, a lot of us, when we think of that, we think, well, God wants us to be physically healed and wealthy here and now. And you know what? I agree that in Jesus Christ, there is going to be no more sickness or illness or poverty in the kingdom of God. But what's the difference, though, biblically, and what they're saying? For them, it's all about, it's here and now, right now, right? And if you don't experience that health and wealth, then it's a problem with your faith, because you just have to believe it. And then you get into all kinds of other really weird things then too that a lot of people don't know about. That, like, for example, they think that you are a god. That human beings are gods. Did you know that? Kenneth Copeland: "You don't have a god in you. You are one." Todd White: "You have the divine DNA of Abba." Copeland also: "You have the exact same spiritual DNA as Jesus. You are a twin to the Master Himself." Did you know that stuff was all part of that too? Do you know why I get on my little soapbox and here I go again about how so much of so-called Christian television is garbage? I'm not saying it's all garbage, but you know, a lot of it is. That's why we need to exercise discernment. Biblical discernment. So we are to declare the gospel. Let's make sure we're declaring the right gospel, though. What's the right gospel? That we're saved by grace through faith in Christ, who lived a life of perfect obedience to God's law, suffered on the cross for our sins, died, was buried, and rose again, is coming again. We need to put our faith, our trust, and confidence in Him. Through that and through faith in Him alone, and faith alone, is forgiveness of our sins, holiness and righteous standing before God, eternal life, and the hope of the resurrection of the body, and Him making all things new. And that apart from Him, there is no salvation and no other name given under men by which we must be saved. That's the gospel. Let's declare the gospel, but then also, as we see in our text, declare it with pure motives. That's how Paul said there, what? There was no attempt to deceive on their part. That some were preaching what? Out of a desire to receive the favor of men and women, acclaim. They wanted to be thought well of, thought highly of. Again, this is the motivation that some of the Pharisees had that Jesus spoke against. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount where He spoke of, if you do these things, you know, you will, that they do these things to be seen by men, and they will have their reward in full. Namely what? Human praise, but they will not have the Father's praise, right? So here, these false teachers are doing it in an attempt to deceive in order to get some kind of acclaim for themselves, favor, approval with others, power, or money, greed. They were doing so for greed. They wanted to get rich off of them. They wanted to take advantage of them. Now again, I know that everybody has to eat, right? Everyone has bills to pay. But the motive is not to get from people, to take advantage of them, to get their money, so that what? You can selfishly indulge yourself with it. Spend it on your sinful pleasures. And to that end, we see how, what did Paul do in just a minute here? He said, well, that's why when we were with you, he and the other apostles, we worked hard day and night. That they were working, they did whatever. They were there to serve them, to preach the gospel, and they were doing jobs. Paul was a tent maker. That was his other job on the side to help support himself so that they would know he's not there to take from them. So declare the gospel with pure motives. So if those are all the wrong motives, human acclaim and power and money, and if those are the wrong motives, what's the right motive? Well, we didn't talk about the right motive. Well, what's the right motive then? What's the pure motive?
Love.
In one word, love. And what else, Tony?
Glorify God.
To glorify God. That's right. Love. Love of God. Love of them. Glorifying God. That's the right motive. None of those other things. So we are to declare the gospel with the right motive of love. Love for people. Sometimes, what's an impure motive that some Christians may have in witnessing or testifying? Sometimes it's not love. Sometimes it's what? It can be ego. It can be what? It can be contempt even for people. Or a self-righteousness, right? No, the right motive is love. Love for people. Love for God. The glory of God. The honor of God. Declare the gospel with pure motives, but also declare the gospel then in word and deed. Paul and the other apostles, they worked hard day and night. Why? Because they did not want to be seen as in any way as taking advantage of them. Now, they had to eat. They had bills, too. I don't know what kind of bills they had, but I just used that figuratively. They had bills to pay, right? Well, they didn't have bills to pay when they went in the marketplace for their needs, right? They had needs. They had to live just like everyone else. They needed a roof over their head. So they worked hard day and night. So they proclaimed in the deeds and how they lived. Not just what they said, how they lived. And how they lived was as they worked hard not so they could not be accused of taking advantage of them. But also, and here is a key thing. Look what it says there. It says that they didn't seek glory from people. They made no demands. What? They were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Boy, that says something about motive and how they cared for them, right? But it says, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, but also ourselves. They were giving of their very lives to them. How, verse 9, they toiled night and day, not to be a burden. But then look, verse 10, you are witnesses in God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. Now, is Paul saying that they were sinlessly perfect among? Of course not. No one is this side of heaven, right? But they were living the gospel, but not just saying it with their mouths. They were living out the gospel by holy living, righteousness, blamelessness, loving them, serving them. Which do you think speaks the gospel louder, your words or your actions? Your actions, right? It said they were like a mother to them in their tender care for them. And then they were like a father to them also then, exhorting them, commanding them to do the right and the good, but doing it first. You know, it's been said one of the rules of good leadership is no leader asks his followers to do something that he himself is not willing or won't do himself, right? So declare the gospel, the right gospel, the biblical gospel, with the right motive, love, glory of God, and do it not just with your mouth, but how you live. Be consistent with it. Love people. Walk in holiness and righteousness before them. So it wasn't just Paul and the apostles who did that and were called to do that. So too are you and I. Oop, I got a little ahead of my slide there. Nope. So what? It's not just Paul and the apostles that were called to do that. It's what? You and I. See how I got ahead of myself? Now we're caught up. Okay. So what? It isn't just them. It isn't just back at that time. It's you and me here today. We're not apostles, but we are ambassadors and witnesses and testifiers, aren't we? So the follower of Jesus is called to faithfully proclaim the truth of the gospel with pure motives in both word and deed. So I would challenge us then, three quick points here. Number one, understand the gospel. We can't declare the gospel if we don't know what the gospel is, right? Understand the gospel. Now, we talked a little bit about what the gospel is, but we should all be studying the gospel in the Word of God and know the gospel and know the truth of God so well that it just naturally flows right out of us. It's been said that there is a problem with ignorance in much of the church about biblical doctrines. And unfortunately, there's some truth to that. I hope that what we're doing in this church is helping to counteract some of that. Understand the gospel, the biblical gospel. We can't proclaim what we don't know or understand ourselves, can we? Proclaim that gospel then in word, but also in deed and how we live. Don't wait until you're sinlessly perfect, because we'll all be waiting until Jesus comes to us or we go to him, right? So I'm not saying be sinlessly perfect, but I am saying what? Be a man or a woman of integrity. Proclaim the gospel in word and deed. And then finally then, you might say, why did I put this one? Receive God's grace today. Why did I say that? Because I fail in this. Do you? I fail every day in some way. Little between you and me and the four walls here, I fail in my Christian walk. I fail in some way every day. But God's grace is greater. So don't walk out of here saying, okay, I've been told another thing about something else I got to be doing, or I'm not measuring up. Well, you know what? You don't measure up, and I don't measure up, but Jesus did measure up and does measure up, and his grace is sufficient for you and for me today. Receive his grace. Receive his forgiveness. Endeavor then to walk with him in faith and obedience, and declare the gospel, the true gospel, in love, in word and deed, and give thanks to God for the grace that he gives you, that he gives me, when we don't measure up, because he's good and he's gracious. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that we have a Savior, but that he is a gracious Savior every day. I need his grace every day, Lord. And I know all of us in this room do. So God, I pray that you would teach and encourage us to be good and faithful witnesses, proclaimers of the gospel. Help us to better understand the gospel, Lord. Where we may be deficient in that, help us to understand the gospel. Help us then to proclaim it, not just in our words, but how we live. Lord, would you put on our hearts, there is someone, maybe it's a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow student at school, would you put someone in our hearts for us to pray for, to say, Lord, would you use me to be a witness to that person? And thank you that you are gracious and forgiving, because I have failed you many times, Lord. But thank you that Jesus never failed, and that in him is our hope. We pray all of these things in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.